AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
So, Coach Barry, you were our first ever guest. Did you know that?
I wasn't 100% sure. I felt like I was probably one of the first, but I didn't know I was the exact first.
You were. So it was August 18th of last year.
Awesome.
We sat down in that other studio. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I mean, I have to thank you because when nobody believed in us or gave us anything, you were there for us.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and then you were also the first on-field interview. You know, Gabby was the first one that won the ad. So a lot of firsts for us Prep Zone helped it around your team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just want to thank you for all the support and everything you gave to us that during that first year.
No, you're very welcome. We in the school, we always kind of talked about how we would always love to have more coverage. So the kids love it. The kids love seeing people at the game, seeing the podcast, seeing their successes get highlighted. And I think... Sure. I think what you guys brought last year in the fall season for us was an absolute breath of fresh air. So for us, it was an absolute pleasure just to be a part of it. I didn't know I was the first. I think it's really cool now that I was the first.
It really is. It really is.
But no, we appreciate you guys and everything you do to try and highlight our athletes and our school sports.
For sure. I mean, I think it's easy to do a team that's so well coached and good like you guys are. I have so many memories before we get into the preview for this year. But, you know, I mean, any game in your mind that stood out as like your favorite game from last year?
There's always a lot.
Moment. You don't have to go on a game.
We had a pretty drama-filled season on the field last year. It was pretty good. It's hard to walk away from it and say because we didn't have a trophy, people would go away and look back and go, oh, we didn't have a lot of success. I felt like we had a whole lot of success on the field. I think there was so many different little stories and nuances that happened throughout the season that kind of made the team grow throughout the season. And I think no matter what season you go through, you always kind of wanted to be in an upward trend.
Yeah.
And I think last season was that for us. And when it comes to the business end, we're always the ones that are trying to knock on the door for championships. And even though we didn't come away with the hardware, we were still there and we were still competing and we were still knocking on the door. As far as a favorite memory, I loved winning the penalty shootout against Greenwich in the quarterfinals of state. That was
so good. I remember actually live at that point. Like, it was the first thing I ever did live with that penalty shootout. But I do remember that vividly. A lot of people there.
Some things happened in that game that I'd never seen before. I felt like we got a very harsh goal scored against us. I even recently checked the rule book and the argument I had with the ref, I was correct, and I'm going to bring that up to the referees meeting very soon. Because he interpreted the rule wrong.
Okay, so let's walk through that one more thing, because I do remember being that, but I don't remember the specifics of it. Walk me through that one more time, because I do remember being on
your side. We had a free kick on the halfway line.
That is correct.
The rules state that the opposition has to be 10 yards back, something that the referees have to enforce.
Correct, yes.
The ref was in the process of walking the kid back. My player seen an advantageous pass, tried to play the pass, and another player came on our blind side and blocked it from 1 yard away. That's an intentional delay of play. The rules state that that should have been
a yellow card.
Free kick and a yellow card.
Yeah.
The ref waved play on, and she ran through and scored this great goal. So I was obviously furious. And then he awarded a penalty for us 10 minutes later with 1 minute to go in double overtime. They tie the game up. It wasn't a penalty. The girl chested it. In that moment, I still said to the referee, that was the wrong call. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yep.
So it's for people who might be listening thinking I was just arguing about what the call went against my team, I was also arguing about the call went against Greenwich.
Yeah.
I want the rules applied in the sport, to be fair.
Yeah.
We scored it, and it went to PKs. To be fair, even without the two goals and the drama with 6 minutes to play, I thought that game was kind of destined for PKs.
Yeah.
Because both us and Greenwich really cancelled each other out. It was a real... good soccer game, tactical battle. The Greenwich team executed their game plan well.
Yeah.
But then we went to penalties, and even more drama came because the first four of each team, the standard of penalties was so high.
It was just
8 out of 8 scored. And then we stepped up. They hit our fifth. Neva hit it. The keeper saved it and kind of punched the air for the save. The ball spun into the back of the goal. We all celebrated because we scored. And then Sammy Hensky made a great save on their final penalty to put us through. It was a real dramatic end. But, yeah, I think that was probably the highlight for me just because of it. We went like nearly 110 minutes with nothing happening and then 8 minutes of madness.
Yeah, chaos, right? I mean, yeah. I remember like it was literally chaos. We're sitting there. And like I said, it was like I was so hyped. And remember, Ilanka was the first ever live we did, right? Again, around your team, you know. We did that PK live and it was so great. I, you know, to me, in my mind, sticks out. It's like, you know, when we talked after your team was eliminated. That game where you were up 2-0, they tied, and they went up, then you tied again, Natalie started, like, and it's like, but I saw so much heart from the team in that, right? And I think that interview from you captured, you know, at least for me, because like, I like to go back and listen to them, right? The emotions and everything that team is all about. But talk a little bit about, you know, the culture that you've established with his girls. It's a winning culture.
Yeah.
And talk about that culture, if you don't mind, a little bit.
I think a lot of people mention winning culture. I think just having an inclusive culture breeds a winning culture, and that's a lot of what I wanted to do when I first took over Staples. I might have mentioned it in the last podcast, but for me it was about the older kids making sure the younger kids are well catered for and well involved in everything, and it was about making sure that Staples soccer was a safe haven for all these kids that took them away from the stresses of life, took them away from the stresses of school, and they could come to Staples soccer and really take pride in everything that we do there. Then once they're taking pride in the program, it's about how your standards are. Where do we want to see ourselves? If we want to be at the top, we have to train like we're at the top, we have to play like we're at the top, and we have to carry ourselves like we're at the top. Thankfully, we've been one of the top teams in the state for the best part of 10 years.
In the nation, right? Last year.
Last year we got ranked as high as four. But
yeah,
like for us, that was, we looked at that as a huge achievement. We never ever thought about that when I first took over at Staples. We weren't even qualifying for FCAC. And then our first year we got in and it just kind of snowballed from there. But we, as a team, we always kind of set goals that are achievable, goals that raise the standards every day, goals that bring us up. And then I think all of that kind of encapsulates a winning culture at the end. Once you start winning, it's dead easy to kind of follow it up with, once you set the bar, essentially, you look back and you go, well, we did this last year and that worked. So we're going to keep doing that, but we're going to build on it. And as long as you keep building and you keep bringing these kids in that can see it and the graduating senior step out and leave something behind that these younger kids look up and go, that I really like that about this program, then it's going to just keep on going.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you tipped right into my next question, is really about the shift, right? I think you graduated Gabby, Coco, and Evelyn, yeah, and a few more. But I mean,
Neva, Talia, right, Neva.
I mean, there was
Lee Foran, Sophie Hill, Liv Kovics, Catherine Spada. There's Alana Morris. I think we graduated 11 seniors. All of them contributed on the field last year.
Right, they were all big part.
At some part, yeah.
Big part of it. So how do you, as a coach, and I always felt like high school is unique because you're almost starting over every year.
Right? Yeah.
I mean you get some continuation, but when you lose, like you're losing, like, and it's the lose is not the right word. You graduate them. They move on with their things. I mean, Evelyn, Gabby, all these girls are going to play soccer next year. It's just somewhere else. But how do you manage that, you know, from a new program? And I guess it's what you said, you kind of bring them up. But how do you go into a season where you lost so many key parts of your team like that?
I think this is why high school soccer can keep good coaches around. It keeps it fresh. It keeps you, sometimes you coach the same team for a long time. It can get a little mundane in the sense that they might be making some slight errors, and because I've known them for a long time or because I'm coaching them a certain way, I might kind of overlook that as long as they're doing what I'm asking of them on the field. Every 4 years when you graduate, a load of senior classes and it's a new wave of kids, it all kind of starts over.
Yeah.
Like we've got like 16 return players that are all good. We still got Natalie, we still got Annabelle, we still got Katie Fitzgerald, still have Sammy Henske, we still got Daisy Chung, like some big players that are coming back for us and contributed like very, very strongly last year for the team. And they kind of help the coaching staff show the younger kids what needs to be done, what the standards are. They're the ones that drive all the training ethic and all that. I just kind of go up and coach them and show them what we need to do. I like it. I'm excited for this year. Last year was an amazing year. For me, personally, it was kind of in a time where I really needed work. I don't know how aware you are of last year, but I got in a really bad car crash last
year.
Yes,
I remember we talked about it. Yeah. It was a few days before the podcast, right?
It was in May. It was a couple of months, but I had only just been allowed back out to public by then, you know?
To public, yeah.
But I probably went back to work too early, and I was noticing things in coaching and in games that I wouldn't normally do, and like I took a major blow to the head. And for my whole life, I never really had a concussion, or at least I don't know if I have one, but I suffered a lot through the year, last year with that. This year, going through the spring, I had a really successful spring season with my club teams, and I kind of feel as close to my normal self as I have done and over the best part of a year. So I personally, I'm just really excited to get back on the field and coach the team. And having a new group it keeps you on your toes, because you have to make sure you do it all right, because it's all new stuff for the kids that are coming in.
It does. And I want, you know, I do want to talk more about Staples, but I want to talk about your club season, because I followed it a little bit on social media. You guys were in the national final. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You did really well with that team.
Yeah.
And some of those players, I believe one or two are Staples kids coming in this year, right? Three of them, right? So talk about how that club went and who are the players we should expect this year to step in and kind of make a big contribution to the club.
It was my CFC, Connecticut Football Club. It was our CFC United 2010 team. So all eighth grade kids are going to ninth grade. Unfortunately, there was a whole load of Ridgefield kids in there that are all very strong. There was a couple of kids going to St. Joe's that are very strong. There's a new Canaan kid that's strong. Like, I'm feeding the FCAC annoyingly. I'm feeding the rivals.
I know, that's right. Yeah.
But as a group of kids, they just... I like all my teams. They're all different ages, so I like coaching them, all different abilities and stuff like that. But this particular group, I sent them a PDF out last August. Here's the style of play. Like, it was stuff they hadn't seen before. They were coming from a real great technical base with their previous coach, but they had never really seen the whole, you're getting a PDF and you need to learn exactly where you should be for corners, where you should, a real tactical booklet on before they even showed up. And I said to the kids, like, they're 13 years old, what's your long-term goal for the season? They all said, oh, we would love to qualify for regionals. I went, all right, that's an achievable goal. Let's work towards that. But it's between September till May. That's how long it is. We just, they work through game by game. So played 7 games in the fall. We're second in our conference. Worked through the winter, come back in the spring. And we just went on this crazy win streak, and we just kept winning. We end up finishing second in our conference behind Sousa of Long Island. But the top three go to regionals. We went down to regionals. We ended up winning regionals. Believe it or not, we played against another CFC team in the final. So it was really massive for the club, the two teams get to the final. We played regionals. And then when you look at it, the coaching calendar, and you see that nationals is in the middle of July, normally my club season is ending like June 3rd or something like that. I knew I was going to be coaching right up till the end of July. I was looking at it going, oh, I don't know.
No vacation this year.
I don't know if I can do this whole going to nationals thing. And then once you're a competitor, so once you get there and the kids start winning and they just kept on going, it was an unbelievable achievement for them to go to nationals. Going to nationals, I was in the dark. I didn't know what teams we play against. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I knew the clubs, but I didn't know like their style of play. You know, these big clubs. And then we went down to nationals. And we played a number one seed out of the South with Real Colorado. They had scored a ridiculous amount of goals, hardly let any in, hadn't lost a game in like 20 games. And then we smoked them 5-0. We just run over the top of them. My kids were loving life. Then we played the semifinal against MVLA, a good club out of California. We're 2-0 up, 15 minutes to go. They scored a really good free kick. And then just chant, like, you know what, it's backs against the wall, but we got through. Then we played Beach FC in the final. They ended up winning like 5 national championships across 6 age groups or something. But they beat us 2-0. But at 0-0, right up till 60 minutes, we missed 2 big chances. We played really well. Yeah. My girls competed. And if you had told me last August, your team, you're going to take this team to the national final, the ECNL, RL level, and you're going to compete in the final, you might lose out, but you're going to finish second in the nation, I'd have snapped your arm off.
Wouldn't believe it.
The kids had a great time. It was an emotional time for my team as well. I should add that one of the kids on that team lost her younger sister. She was battling brain cancer, and she passed away. Her name's Avery Lafferty. A special family, real special kid. Unfortunately, lost the battle, but her younger sister Lexi, Lexi, that was on my team. She, as a human, I've never seen like strength from a kid like that ever before. She was throughout her sister's battle. She was showing up to practice. Was the most positive kid on the team. You would never known she's just been like traveling with her sister to the hospital to make sure. The way that Lexi was able to kind of get through all that, it was mind blowing for me how positive and how strong a child can be.
Yes.
And I was really, really proud of her for that. She's obviously going through a tough time now because she's a big sister and her younger sister's no longer with us. But the fact that she can kind of still carry that light, it kind of says a lot for her. She's such a special human. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, right? The emotions as you're going through something like that, right? I mean, it's the emotion of winning. It's the emotion of remembering a loved one or what you're going through. I followed it, and I thought it was just amazing to see you guys go through that, right? Because even though it's, you know, it's not what we mainly cover, it's still part of the family, right? Yeah. I mean, you still have so many players that you're gonna end up covering. They're gonna be end up playing here. So that was exciting. I thought it was very cool. Yeah. You're like, you didn't get a break. Go from there
that. My family actually came over for a week. My older brother and his wife and his 2 kids came over. I've been home in a couple of years, but to be able to see, like, hang out with his kids for a week and just have a laugh, even though I don't have any kids of my own, but it's a full-time job.
God, yeah.
7 a.m.
Yeah.
in the morning till whatever time you go to bed, it's nonstop. But I just having them here for a week, it was so mentally refreshing for me then to go back to work after that and kind of start. So I'm excited for how the season's gonna go.
Yeah, it's always good. I mean, and then we talk about the season, right? I like you said, you have Natalie, a big contributor, coming back, Annabelle, Daisy. I mean, there's so many more players, Sam at goal, that were a big part last year. And I know that you guys did a really good job incorporating some players, getting them some minutes here and there as you're needed through the season. Especially because, I mean, I don't want to say because recovery. I mean, you blew through a lot of games. You got a little tougher with some of the Aztec teams, but you had some games where you were able to work everybody in. Yeah. But what is, in your view, talk about the team this year, your key players, and what do you expect the season to be like for you?
I think even though we graduated a lot and we lost a lot of quality, I think the one good thing Westport seems to always be able to do is kind of
bounce right back.
Yeah, replace it and keep bringing us more quality. Every other school has lost people too. Some people look kind of in their own little bubble and go, oh, we lost all this year. But then as soon as you start looking around the league, everybody else lost big players too. So it's more of a case of which team can get the best out of their players as early as possible, get points on the board, and then you get through 8 games, and then you look where you're at, and you go, all right, we have a chance of getting FCX here.
Right.
Then you keep going. We have some big decisions they make during tryouts. We've got a lot of good players that were already in our JV team and it was in our freshman team. And we have a couple of really talented players coming in from our incoming freshmen. And it's a big class of probably about 30 kids maybe.
Wow, okay.
So when you look at that 30 kids, you ask the question, can anyone play varsity immediately? Can anyone play JV immediately? And then out of the rest of the freshmen will make up the freshman team. How many of these kids can make 4 years?
Right.
And if every kid has a different story, some kid might go straight into varsity, some kids go from freshman straight to varsity, some kids bounce through all 3 teams. But the main thing is can they contribute to all the teams or the varsity team over the course of 4 years? If the answer is yes, then we're going to be good for 4 years. I just think with the culture and the mentality of my players and the players we retained, I think we have enough to be fighting at the top again.
And your coaching staff's all back? Coach Mac, everybody's back?
Yeah, if Mackenzie wasn't there, it'd be like me coaching without my right arm. She's been there with me for the whole time. And you interviewed Mackenzie. She's a huge part of Staples, huge part of the Westport community, a huge part of everything we do. And I think if we ever didn't have Mackenzie, it would be very noticeable on the field. But yeah, coaching staff will all be there. We've got a new JV coach coming in, Peter. I'm excited to see how he works with the kids. I'm excited to see how the kids respond to the new coaching. It's nice to keep it fresh every now and again. But all in all, the message will be the same.
Yeah.
It'll be play the right way, play fair, but play hard. Try and score a whole load of goals.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting you mentioned it because you coach. So you still think that St. Joseph is going to be your main competition this year? Are they always that strong? How are they? I mean, how do you see the FCAC and the state playing out? Because, you know, from what I saw last year, you know, the teams we played, I feel like the FCAC is a stronger in the state.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, without any doubt.
Yeah, the FCAC, it's probably partially due to this because I think outside of St. Joe's and New Canaan, I think everybody else is double L. So I think the size of the school really matters across the state.
I would agree with that.
In terms of the competitiveness. But even if you get teams like Darien and Trumbull who sometimes finish like 7, 8 through 10 that draw one of the top seeds from up the state in a state game, and they'll go and win.
Yeah.
So our conference is very strong. It always kind of has been. St. Joe's are always going to be the top competition because they hold a slight advantage over everybody being a school of choice.
Yep.
And they can get kids from wherever they want. Goalkeeper come from Tappan Zee, New York last year.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like
long hike.
It is a long hike. We don't have that luxury, yeah. but we'll do what we do every year and we'll try our best to play them. What you can't take away from St. Joe's is the way they're coached, is the how hard they play.
Yeah.
Is how many goals they score, how well organized they are. And I like the level of competition because if you beat St. Joe's, you have a good chance of winning something.
Yeah.
And I say that all the time. I think Ridgefield will be very strong this year. I think Fairfield Ludlow will be strong this year. And then it's a toss-up to see kind of who else comes next. Is Fairfield War going to be back up? Because every now and again, they show up with a team that steamroll everyone. Will Trumbull be able to last the course? They always have a really good team. Mm. But they come around playoff time and they've kind of fallen, but they've got a young team. So it's, did they learn from that last year? And if they did, they're going to be a real force. Greenwich are going to be good again. It's just constant.
Yeah, it's constant competition.
It's just constant
right?
battle. And then we go in the battle in the FCAC playoffs and everyone just beats the life out of each other. And then we have to go and do it again. You look at the state bracket, you're on FCAC team. You're like, come on.
I know.
Give me a break.
I didn't deserve this, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I, you know, and you mentioned St. Joseph's. And one thing I'll say is that, you know, during the games, we're fortunate enough to stay right, you know, right, really close. And I really see the respect that you guys kind of have for each other as a team, but also how it brings out the best. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I wasn't around for the semifinal before last year. You said it wasn't the best soccer. I remember the state semifinal this year being one of the most exciting games I've been a part of.
Yeah.
Where you guys scored those two goals early. And I'm on that sideline seeing St. Joe's kind of lose their goal. It goes down. She comes back. And then there's all these drama that was happening in that semifinal, which it was a state final. I mean, we kind of like you said, you both knew that if you guys, whoever won from that game, was going to have a really good chance right at that final. And it turned out to be in the final. I mean, I wasn't there, but I saw that they kind of took care of business quickly.
Yeah.
But that game was, again, like the year before, what's your view of that game? To me, it was one of the most exciting games I've been a part of on the sideline.
Yeah, but for me, it's hard to enjoy the game so much when you're 2-0 up and you lose the lead and you lose the game.
Yeah.
But like
on the other you were on the other side of the year before, right?
When you kind of walk away from it and you look at it objectively and you're kind of trying to pick out the parts that we might have done wrong in order to analyze the game, you can see the excitement level when you look 2-0 up, 2-2, 3-2 them, 3-3, 4-3 them, and then we were pressure, couldn't get the equalizer, but I've talked to a lot of people after that game, just generally through coaching and through soccer, and people I didn't even know would be in the crowd, and they all say that's one of the best high school soccer girls games they've seen in 20 years.
Oh yeah, for me ever.
As somebody who likes a sport, I like that people can say that about a game that my team are involved in. I've got a huge amount of respect for St. Joe's and their coach, because we have to be at our best if we want to beat them. And if you're not, you'll end up like one of the other teams that played them. We played them this year, the last year, three times. Tied 1-1, down to 10 players with the last 10 minutes in a game I thought we should have won.
That was the home game.
The home game.
I remember that game, yes.
We had enough chances in that game to win it, but it tied 1-1. That was, you can look back, fair result. Then we played them FC Acc final in a game I felt that they were the deserved winners. When you left the game, unfortunately, we missed a PK in the game that might have changed the outcome, but it comes with the territory of playing in the game. The keeper made a great save, and you move on. You applaud anyone for stepping up to take a PK. But I felt like they were the deserved winners that game. And then the state game, if we had won it, people would have went, yeah, they deserved it. When St. Joe's won it, people went, yeah, they deserved it. It was a 50-50 game that ended 4-3. Both teams going as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And it's a real competitive game. And I would say if you ask any coach in the conference or any coach in the state in any sport, they would say, obviously you want to win, but if you're coming off on the losing end, that you've had one of the best performances that a team can possibly give whilst being on the receiving end of a loss. And all we can do is try and bounce back.
And I don't want to, like, you know, you never, like I said, you never want to lose. But I got to say, I mean, I walked away from those games not feeling as a loser, because I thought that the team just performed so well, right? And it was like, and I've watched that tape back of that game, and especially that second half. And in soccer, it's like it's just so small details, right?
Yeah.
It's that one ball that you don't clear. Is that one thing? And it's not because you meant to do it. It's just like a little thing in the midfield has a huge effect in the back.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it's like, you're like, then you can kind of see why it happened, and it wasn't like anything to that. But I feel like both of the teams, like, I just can't wait for this year to see you guys play each other again. Like, you know, but it's like, I just feel like, you know, if you haven't been, you know, to the audience, if you haven't been to a game, like, that's probably the one you want to start going to.
Yeah.
To see those two team plays. And I think
Stable St. Joe's is always a big clash. Even people should really mark that in their calendar. I'm hoping this year that other teams can stand up to them, kind of, like we did.
Give them a little shot.
That would help out.
Yeah, because I have talked to their players, and they always say, like, we want to play them because we don't get any competition anywhere else. We want to come in and play Staples.
Yeah.
It's kind of like goes both ways. And I think that's going to be it. But so your captains this year, Annabelle?
Annabelle, Natalie, Katie Fitzgerald, and Sammy Henske.
Okay.
Katie's actually away right now. She'll miss tryout. She's in China representing Ireland at the Lacrosse World Cup.
Terrific.
Yeah, so she's going to spend a few weeks in Hong Kong playing lacrosse, which is absolutely amazing achievement for her. Lacrosse has always been her number one sport, but as a soccer player, she's such a good player and an amazing athlete.
So, same thing with Daisy. Daisy plays lacrosse as well, because I cover that team.
Yeah,
so
we've got a lot of crossover athletes. Yeah, yeah. And I think high school sports is very much, I think, crossover athletes are so important for high school sports. Being in different seasons with esports and being able to keep up and being a captain for one, but you're a star in the other. It's like, I think that speaks really highly of Katie. I think then when you look at Sammy, Natalie, Annabelle as only soccer players, and that's their only sport they play, and I think we get a different perspective from those three as we would from Katie. And
sure.
I think our captains are really well balanced this year. It's a good group.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, Natalie's got one more after this. Annabelle is a senior this year.
Annabelle, Katie, and Sammy's
all senior, right? So it's interesting. You always have that one that kind of stays and learns. And not that Natalie's going to learn, but she's been around the team for a long time.
Yeah, well, I don't know how other programs run it, but the way we do it, it's like a full-time job being a captain.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting text messages off me going, why haven't we done this? Why this needs done? Uniforms need organized. Like there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff before they put the armband on and actually get the program running.
Yeah.
And I really commend the girls for being patient with the demands that I kind of set on them. We have contracts for them. They look through all the rules, and if we need something changed with the music or the speakers, we go see Natalie. And if we need something done with the game day quotes, we go see Katie. And if one of the younger kids is got an issue, we go see our player liaison, Sammy, and if Annabelle, being the junior captain last year, kind of fell into like Coco's role this year. And if there's any issues, pretty much with a lot of the fundraising or the organization or the logo wear, I go see Annabelle. So they all kind of have their own little umbrellas of,
got it, okay,
of roles that we kind of say, this is yours. You have to do it right. And then when they move on later in life, they know what it's like. They run a little team. They have like little sub teams that they,
yeah.
It's funny, to be fair, they draw names for jobs.
Oh, they do?
That okay. fall under their brackets. And a lot of the people don't want the balls, like the duty of picking up all the balls after practice. Annabelle had that last year as a junior captain. She hates it. But there's something to be said for making sure that your team that are working with you account for every single thing that you're responsible for.
Yeah.
Kind of helps them like with their leadership roles. It kind of helps them kind of have their own little section where they look after it. And when they go to jobs later, it might not count on their resume, but the actual experiences of working with other yep. people and kind of delegating jobs and being a leader or being a manager, so to speak, that's kind of why we do that. That helps them.
I totally agree. Stuff. I always tell my kids, you know, you have to do what you don't want to do so you can get to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times that's part of it. And it's like, it's something I hear from a lot of the successful programs is like you just said, right? I mean, players are held accountable.
Yeah.
To whatever it is. So it's great to be named a captain, but then you don't realize all the work that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I've been like, I remember when I used to be like manager for travel soccer teams, man, talk about getting work done. You run unsung clubs, you know how that goes.
Team managers are unsung heroes big time. The work they do is ludicrous.
I know. I remember scheduling games, man, you know, rain outs. I mean, because here in the U.S., I mean, they close the field for anything, and I get it, right? But, I mean, coming from Brazil and you're in the U.K., you know, I mean, we play through rain, through
Ireland's
everything,
not,
right?
Ireland's not in the U.K.
Oh, just, no, sorry, make that there you clear. Go. Yeah, oh, it's clear. Not in the U.K. There you go. My bad. I've got to learn my math. But, yeah, but, you know, Ireland's kind of the same thing. You guys play through anything, right? So it's like, you know, and I'm sorry, that's kind of offensive. I just said
it's all right. Just in case the viewers need to know.
They don't know. He corrected him right away. Yeah, you got to do that. Yeah. But so as you look at, you know, this year, obviously I think you always expected to be winning and to be at the top. But, you know, when we do this again next year, we talk about preview. Hopefully we don't get a chance to do it before. But if we don't, what is your mind of success for the team this year?
Just to be competing and achieve their goals. Our first goal is always to finish around the top four, qualify for FCX. Reason why we want the top four, if you finish top four in FCX, you're going to be somewhere in the top end of the state bracket. You get a home game in the quarterfinals of FCX, which is hugely important.
Yeah.
And you get they always kind of get the opportunity, but with the home game that you're the favorite in that tie. That's always our first goal. Once it gets to playoffs and we're in there, qualify for FCX, can we win it? If you get that semifinal, it's anybody's.
Right.
So can we go on and win it? And then we kind of reset after FCX, depending on how it goes. We could be bouncing in there after a championship or maybe spend a few days where we're giving them a day off and they pick their feet up
right.
and they go again. And then when we go again, it's can we go on a crazy run all the way to the final and try and pick up the state trophy?
Yeah.
And our goals will never change no matter the team. I think if our standards are the same, that with the culture will drive success on its own.
And I want to ask you this because I've been asked this about two or three times about this, is the fact that no one's kind of using grass here at, you know, at our school anymore.
Yeah.
Lofer's kind of like, you know, became a practice field.
Yeah, you don't even use it for practice anymore.
You don't even use it for practice anymore.
Yeah.
Is it because of the condition or because you think the game's just a better game played on turf?
I mean, I only ever played on grass fields. If you get a good grass field, you can't beat it. I give you that team, my CFC team that went all the way. We flew all around the country. We were playing on was these immaculate grass fields that have 20 games a day on it that are still immaculate afterwards. Years ago, when I first came to Stables, Loeffler was that immaculate grass field. The people at Longshore, his name's escaped me, but one of our players, Chloe Rosenfield, her uncle was the greenskeeper.
Wasn't it McCarthy?
Stuart McCarthy Stuart. He was in charge of Parks and Rec at the time, but he would send the guys, Chloe Rosenfield's uncle was one of the greenskeeper at Longshore. He would come and maintain the grass field. So if you're maintaining a golf course, you know exactly what it means to maintain any sort of athletic grass field.
Yeah.
Loeffler was immaculate. We were playing that late November, state games, beautiful home field. And then when he kind of stepped away or retired, and it was just kind of left to and this is not me, like...
Yeah, no, I mean, the boys don't play it anymore. Yeah, nobody plays it anymore.
Over the years, it just kind of went and got worse every year. And then the heavy rainfall and the conditions, it chops the field up. We even paid companies, private companies, to come in and maintain it for us. And they didn't do a good job. And it got to the point where the way we want to play stable soccer, boys and girls, we like to be on the front foot. We like the ball on the floor. We like to pass it. We try to play a real attractive brand of the sport that's played at speed. And when the grass is this long and bobbly and bumpy, we can't play that brand. Now,
I just kick the ball up in the air. You're just putting the ball up.
We don't want to be taking up Wakeman. We don't want to be moving to the middle school to play games on the turf. We want a home field. We want something that's in the high school, like the football team get to be doing, the girls and boys lacrosse get to do in the field hockey. They're in the high school and people come and sit and watch them in the bleachers.
Yeah,
my kids for the last 5 years have no idea what it's like. They play a game at Loughler with the stands packed.
I know.
That was so special.
It was. That's why I bring it up, because it was intimidating.
Yeah, it was.
It was intimidating.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, that gets improved through a turf facility that we've kind of, that's behind the scenes stuff that's going on now.
That's great to hear.
We would love nothing more than they bring all of Staples Soccer back to the high school and give people that experience of looking up on the hill and seeing all those fans and seeing how special it is. Wakeman's been like amazing for us. We've had huge amounts of success up at Wakeman. We've hardly lost a game up there. It's a good field, but being a public field and being at the middle school, we're taken away from the middle school being able to do their PE. We can't even play pre-game music on the state games because they're during the middle school or in class, and it kind of takes away from the feel of these special games, and it kind of affects everybody.
It does.
And we don't even get people showing up to games because they're 1 p.m. kickoff and stuff like that. People are working, people are in school. So, yeah, we love using Wakeman, but we wish we had a proper home field that we could just go, this is the home of the Wreckers, and when you come here, you're going to lose the game because this is our fortress.
It is. And the reason I say this, like, I remember talking to McFarlane from baseball, right? And he said, listen, it's just not the program. People come here and they see our diamond. They see our setup. They're like, I mean, they might lose the game as they're walking off the bus.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they look at that huge thing. And although, like I said, Wakeman's great, it doesn't have that aura that Loughler kind of does.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it up because I had Lauren Garcia on the podcast, right? And the first thing stuck out, I was always fighting about playing for Loughler. I said, you can play at Loughler all you want now. There's nobody playing there. And she was like floored the fact that when she was playing, that was like the prime location. Now it's really.
Yeah, because Lauren and the other seniors that were with her, they were my first senior class. So they got to see exactly how, when I talked to them way back, I said, here's what we want to do with the program. So for them looking at the program now, they're going, look how much success they've had.
Yeah.
And it's off the back of our first year where we were able to keep rolling it out.
Right.
So it's dead proud for them. They look back and see how well Staples Soccer are doing. I think those girls had like three coaches over 4 years. Like Staples was a program that turned over coaches a lot. I've been there now for a long time, but I think for them, they hold the same sense of pride I did. Yeah. And when you find out that those special days in Loughler are not there anymore,
I know
it's a massive void.
It is.
And my girls have had some unbelievable experiences over the last 5 years using Wakeman, going to state finals, all that stuff. Stuff that they'll be able to walk away from their high school careers and go, that was amazing. But we don't have a home field. And that's something that they're going to miss out on after all those years of playing. Imagine me that we play at Loughler with lights.
I know. How
sick would that be?
I know.
Unbelievable. You go to a home football game or a home lacrosse game in the spring.
Nothing like it.
Oh, it's amazing. And I don't even know the rules of those sports, and I still enjoy it. It's amazing. Because I look down and I know that the coaches are brilliant at Staples. I know the programs are run so well. We can look across all the Staples sports programs and go, all right, state champion. You're competing for state title.
Everyone
across the board. Staples sports and athletics are as high end as you can get. What we need now is the facilities to kind of match it, and we're trying to work.
Yeah.
And I think what VJ is doing as the new athletic director, he's been unbelievable for the school. Couldn't agree more. I think Marty, for all his years he served, was an amazing athletics director. And I think that when he left, if he was able to write down the characteristics of someone who would come in and replace him, I think we got the perfect one.
Couldn't
so, yeah, I think the school's in a really good position across as far as athletics are across the board. So we'll see how it goes the next couple of years. Fingers crossed, we get the Loeffler project approved and we move forward with it.
I do, yeah. It's like I said, I missed that. Cause I said I got maybe with my oldest son 1 year of Loeffler, right? It was still like that 1 year was kind of like the year of like the COVID year.
Yeah.
You know, so like there really wasn't anybody there, but they were still playing there, mm-hmm. right? And even though there's nobody, it's still like you got to walk down that hill. There's still a few people, you know, taping all that up top. And it was different. It felt like a game. And as great, like I said, great as Wakeman is, it just feels a little different. Like, it's like you're not at your home field. But, you know, it's still great to win anywhere you go, right?
we'll win on the road.
We'll win anywhere, right?
Yeah, we'll win on the road. We don't care as long as the team's performing well and they're representing the school, the town, and their families to their best abilities. Yeah. And generally, if stable soccer is showing up, there could be a W coming after it.
Absolutely. When is the first game of the season? When you open?
We have a couple of preseason games, kind of August, but September 3rd is our first game. We're away at New Canaan.
Okay.
Which will be a nice test right off the bat. New Canaan are always a good team. They're always in the mix for top eight, and they always have great players. I actually coach two other players on my club team, and they are some of the best players in the state. So it'll be interesting to see how we get on that. I think if we come away with that way, an impressive win, I think I'll be a little bit more at ease for what's about to happen over the next 8 or 9, 10 games. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
And the home opener is right. So you're the third. When's your home opener?
It's like 2 days after, I think. Brian McMahon is right after. And then we go Norwalk, Stanford. Yeah, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, I just want to get that date out, right? I mean, so September 3rd in New Canaan is when we're going to kick the things off.
Yeah, September 3rd.
And tryouts are about, you're going through right now?
Preseason right now. Preseason. Tryouts are starting Monday on the 19th. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday tryouts. Right out of the tryouts, Thursday, first practice, double session. Yeah. Friday's double session. Saturday, Jamboree, 3 games in a day. It's just nosedive into it.
It goes by so fast. I mean, I covered it. It's like, it's bittersweet, right? Because you want to get to those games, but it just goes by, you know, and you know, because you're a coach, like, even us from a coverage standpoint, you blink an eye and the season's gone.
Yeah.
And then you're moving on to something else, but like, you end up missing it. So now that it's here, we're definitely going to try to enjoy a lot more this year. And, you know,
for sure. Once you're in it, it is important that you take some time and you go, actually, that was a great game and a great result and a really good day for these kids. Because essentially, no matter how hard you get into it, no matter how crazy the schedule becomes and how heated some of these games get, at the end of the day, as long as the kids walk away going, that was a good season, I enjoyed this day, I loved this. If the kids are having a good experience, then the reality is the trophies don't actually matter in that sense. We love trophies. We want to be the best, so we push ourselves for it. But as long as the kids are going, stable soccer was amazing, I've achieved my goals.
I agree. And it's like, you know, and at least for me personally, right, as someone who's, I have my younger son is still in this volleyball program. I had a son who went to soccer. Being around you guys and the other program as well, you kind of realize that it is about winning, but it is about really developing people and the character of the players and those relationships. Like, because I see Lauren here and how she talked about the program years down after going through college, right?
Yeah.
And she said that, and I had that a tennis player said, listen, someone who played Division I tennis said, my best years were high school.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's really like, they're going to go back and look, man, that was the most fun I had playing the sport.
And if you're creating memories and creating feelings like that for kids, then when they have kids later and they say, oh, high school sports were amazing, you're hoping that that kind of makes their kid want to aspire to play a high school sport and want to learn about life through experiences in sport. And essentially, that's what sports should be.
Yep.
It should be about developing characteristics, about developing traits within people that they can walk out in life and actually be a good, positive role model for the people that are younger than them. And if we can develop people through stable soccer and make them know it's just as much being a good human as it is being a good player and being a good athlete, then what ends up happening is Stables just keep sending these kids out to colleges and they're real positive people, and then we just get more positive people in the world. It's nice to be able to come from a different culture in a different country and kind of help people see those types of things, you know.
Exactly. I mean, we're so fortunate to live in a place. You know, we have, you know, have all the opportunities to do all this stuff. So it's so great. But yeah, listen, I can't wait. So we're about 3 weeks away from it. Yeah. And when this goes out, it'll be a couple weeks. So it's going to be great. Coach, I can't thank you enough. I mean, it's going to be so great. I can't wait to get out in the field with you guys, you know, all that. And we do want to do a little more personal stuff with you. And, you know,
yeah, no
before
worries.
We go, right? So get the people to know a little bit. and they've seen it last time. We'll do a little bit more this time. What's your favorite smell?
Smell? As a kid, I used to love the smell of bacon. Like if your mother was, not bacon, the meat, baking. Like if your mother was like baking, like these, my mother used to bake these little.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, bacon,
used to bake these little shortbread cookies with jam in the middle. She actually just sent me the recipe. She found it. That was like a 50-year-old recipe. But yeah, the smell of like her making like sweet treats was amazing. She still does it at home now with my nieces and stuff, with her granddaughters, which is good to see that she did. But the smell of that, you stay waking up in the morning, you're like, sweet, the shortbreads are right.
That's right. What's your all-time favorite vacation you ever took?
My grandfather lived in Malaysia, and me and my family would go out there. We would have to kind of take time off school in January because their summer in that side of the world is that time of the year. So we'd go out to Malaysia, a place called Penang, and we'd stay out there. My grandfather and I like Asian foods anyway, but just kind of learning about culture and seeing different parts of the world and kind of seeing like kind of how different people live their lives. I always loved that part of the world. I've actually been back as an adult myself to Southeast Asia and loved it. But yeah, going to Penang as a kid was amazing.
Malaysia, wow. I would never would have think that. Yeah. What's your best local restaurant, your favorite local restaurant?
In Westport?
Yeah.
Shout out to Lomitos, the Peruvian joint.
Love Lomitos, right at the corner there on that 70. Yeah,
yeah. And I actually need to give Bella a shout out. There's a kid that comes on our sideline, Bella. She's kind of like our team manager. She, the sweetest kid ever. She asked me last season what was my favorite restaurant. The same question, I said Lomito. She showed up with a gift card, $400, by the way. Thank you so much, Bella. $400 for Lomitos. And I'm still eating off that.
I know, right?
The gift voucher, the food in there, Lomo Saltado steak.
Oh yeah,
rice, vegetables. Oh,
and the portions are so big,
amazing,
right? I mean, they're like you can eat lunch and dinner with that stuff.
I still eat them all when I'm sitting.
I love it. I mean, I love, and like from Brazil, so their foods are just like, oh, I love it. The taste, everything about it. So couldn't agree more of that. One guilty pleasure song on your playlist?
I'm a big fan of Adele.
For a single guy that's
nearly 40, I shouldn't really be listening to Adele's love music, but she's just an unbelievable singer.
It's the voice. Yeah. It really is. Like, I always, you know, I tell my kids that, you know, I grew up a lot with Whitney Houston, right? I mean, and it's like...
Whitney's the greatest singer of all time.
Right, right. But it's like the songs are kind of same genre, right? Yeah, and you're like, it's the voice. I mean, it's a talent, right? I mean, it's like, and the music's good too. And you know she plays drums, right?
I didn't know that, but...
She was like, you know, like, that. I didn't know that either, but, you know, I love going back and just like, if I like a song, I try to actually go to YouTube and watch them singing with the band. Is that kind of like, it's almost like, remember when we were growing up, like you had MTV, you watch the videos, and like when the song was playing on the radio, you kind of, that video is kind of playing in your head, right? Yeah. Almost like that.
Yeah.
So I go back and I watch, and I saw a few songs of her where she takes the drums with that big thing on and she plays, so she actually the drum.
That's pretty cool.
So there you go. See another big Adele fan right here. Who knew? What is the last series you binge watched?
I rewatched Game of Thrones recently just because it's the greatest show of all time. But I'm rewatching Vikings right now on Netflix.
Vikings, I didn't get into that one yet.
It's so good. It was originally an Amazon Prime season that they brought out. They only planned on bringing out one series, but the feedback was so strong.
It's like about the adventures of this like guy called Ragnar Lothbrok, and some of it are like in like Norse mythology. And it's all the stories. So all the series are based on the kind of old time stories of that part of the world, and it's a lot about Christianity and when they came, they invade all these countries that had Christianity. Right. They're known as pagans, right? They're just Vikings, and they're ransacking everything. But yeah, it's just a cool thing. I like historic things where you.
So do I.
How they're traveling from Greenland to Norway on a small wooden boat, and you know, like, I'm like, what the hell's good? But it's just a great series. But there's seven seasons; it goes on forever. But it keeps me interested.
Did you know that Coco is another one who loves historical stuff?
Yeah,
because like I had her here, and I remember like her and I were talking about one of my favorite series. Like not a lot of people did is like a Man in the High Castle.
Yeah,
which like you know that where there was the World War, or whatever.
That was a Hulu one that was kind of based if the Nazis had won the World
exactly,
War.
Exactly. Yeah,
that word would be like yeah. That was a good one.
Remember, wasn't it good? Like not a lot of people got into it, but if you like history, like that was a great one. So I got to get into why because I got to do that.
Coco's like you could talk to her for hours about things that she's interested in because sometimes you see these kids as athletes, you have no idea what they're doing in the background. Like even Lee Foran done an article for Dave Rudin this year. I coached that kid for 4 years, didn't even know some of the stuff she was doing. Yeah. And it just makes you stand by and go, wow. Like,
you know, right?
You know what I mean? Like,
it is crazy, wow. Right? I mean, it's insane. Because it's like, there's always a story behind it. And to plug in, no, Chick-fil-A, the other day I was at a train, and they showed me, so Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you've been to a store, I don't know if that's what a restaurant like, but anyway.
So do I.
So it's like, but, you know, their whole thing is about experience, right? And they make their employees watch this video once a month, which is a video that you can see it on YouTube, you know, if you watch whatever. And it's like, as people are walking the restaurant, they have little sayings about, you know, whatever, because it starts with everybody has a story.
Yeah.
Right. And the first one's an older couple, and it says he just beat cancer, like chemo. You know. Next one is like you know a single mom trying to make ends meet, and it kind of shows the employees like everyone's a lot more than you're actually seeing.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a story. So to your point, like you don't know what these kids are doing. It's like because we you know the only way is you got to sit down with them and talk.
Yeah.
Except when I had them here, like wow, who would know? Like a teenager and I would like the same kind of show, you know?
Yeah. I mean? Well, to be fair, some of the kids that come out of stables are so impressive. So you probably get to see that when you're sitting interviewing all these captains, all these sports, and then you think like being a captain's a huge achievement. And then you hear them talking about the things they do in real life, and you're like. Yeah, to be fair, being a captain of your sport's probably mediocre compared to the rest of the
right,
stuff.
Yeah, all this stuff you're doing, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, when I started with Westport Soccer a long time ago, remember Alex Anvari was one of them, right?
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Alex one time, and then I went through, like, I started as a grade commissioner and director, whatever, you know. But Alex had a saying, he said, you know, people that, you know, that like, that want to lead and have, it kind of just goes through them, right?
Yeah.
So these captains, like, yeah, they have all this stuff going on, but it's just part of who they are. They just, like, they can't sit still. They need to be leading.
Yeah.
It's like, and as a coach, you see it right away. It's like, this person's special. This person has something in them, right?
Yeah.
You just got to find all those other stories in them.
Exactly. And having, I think with these kids having more to do, seems to an outsider, like, it's crazy that their schedule's so packed, but what you find is the more structure they have, the better the grades turn out to be,
you know,
because they just know exactly what's going through their day, you know. But impressive kids.
Absolutely. What is your midnight's go-to snack? I know you're not out, so what is it?
Any sweet treats I'm a disgrace with. Like, you could give me a box of Oreos, they're gone in one sitting. Like, it's, if it's in front of me, it's getting eaten.
Got it.
It's better if it's away, honestly.
Can't just take one, right?
No,
that goes right through it.
No way.
So, aside from your family, what's the one thing you can't live without?
Liverpool Football Club.
Oh, here you go, Liverpool.
It's red right season. I don't miss a game. I watch every single game. The high school actually gets in the way of Champions League, which is annoying. But
go back, watch the tape, right? It's like it's crazy.
Yeah, no, they give a more real in depth answer. Being so far from home, my friends here are like the most important people in my life because that is essentially my family here. Just having good people around me is always, for me, is the most important. Watching Liverpool's obviously right up there. That was my first love.
You are a Liverpool fan. So the other day, I was, because my oldest son in college now, he's going to start watching Ted Lasso. And I said, did you know that Ted Lasso came from a TV commercial? So I was showing him, you know, when NBC got the rights to the Premier League, right? They kept it, put that commercial out. Do you remember, and I'm just bringing this because you're a huge fan. Do you remember when he called Liverpool?
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, you mean on Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see the second season.
No, but like.
I have no idea.
So
on the advert, you mean?
On the ad.
I didn't see the advert.
You never
knew it came from an advert?
Oh, you got to see it because what happens is, so let me explain to you. So he... it's just coming in, call him Tottenham. That's the first thing, right?
Yeah.
And then the way to learn is they put up flashcards of the teams.
Okay.
The first thing they put up is Man United. It says, used to be good, have won a long time. He goes, Dallas Cowboys.
So they have the crap emoji with that one,
then? Right, exactly. And then they put up Liverpool. And then he looks at it and he says, what's the name of that hot lady from Game of Thrones? He goes, Khaleesi. I'm going to call him Khaleesi.
Yes. All right. I should watch more Ted Lasso then.
Yeah, there you go. But the commercial, he actually refers to, and you said, well, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. There you go. See? Yeah.
Ted Lasso. Right. That's good,
right? So Ted Lasso used to call, Liverpool Khaleesi. There you go.
I'm all for that.
All right. Let's end with this. If you could go back and relive your one day in your life, which day would that be?
I'd like to go back to my dad's birthday, the year he passed away, which was 2017. It was me and all my brothers. We went quad biking with him. My dad rides motorcycles, or did ride motorcycles, but for some reason he couldn't ride a quad bike. He was crying. It was so bad, and it pissed him off. And me and all my brothers, we just laughed at him for it, because he's just so cool on motorbikes, but we can't ride one before we do. But that was a good day. We basically went quad biking in the hills of Donegal, and then we went out for dinner. And my nephew was very young at that point, but we brought them out for dinner. And I don't know why it was. For some reason, we're not that kind of family. My dad or we kind of never really said, oh, I love you. It was just it was a given. We were treated amazing.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when my dad was leaving that day, I told my younger brother, Dave, who shares a birthday one day apart, I said, go tell him you love him. And my brother gave him a hug, said he loved him. Weirdly enough, that was the last day he actually seen him, because my brother lived in a different city or whatever, and he passed away a month later. But that was just a real special day for my dad and my brothers. We were just all together, and we just had a great day. And it was just a really cool thing. So I would like to go back to that. I can't remember the last time. It was partially my fault because I live away, that we were all together. So yeah, that was an awesome day, I think.
How many brothers do you have?
I've got three biological brothers and two cousins that live away several lives. So essentially, they're our brothers, but so there's five of us. And we've just been driving my parents crazy for our whole lives.
No sisters, all brothers?
No sisters, but all the firstborn kids in my family are all girls. There's five nieces and one nephew now, so my mother's delighted. She got the girls finally showed up.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so heartwarming, Ethan, when you think about these days that, and I'm like the time say, these moments that you enjoy your family, you got to really hold on to them, because you just never know if they're going to come back.
Oh, yeah, I know. I cherish it a lot. And me and my brothers and my cousins were all in a big group chat. We talk all the time, and we give each other crap every now and again about, because we all support different teams.
Yeah.
There's two Liverpool, and the rest are Man United, and then my cousin's Arsenal.
Oh, he's a good man right there.
Yeah,
he's a good man right there.
He's actually a really good man. That's a good way to describe him.
See?
Yeah, we talk. I actually, because I'm away here and I was burying myself in work, I didn't realize how much I missed them until my brother came over with his kids and his wife, and it was just such a special time. So, yeah, I'll get home soon, but yeah, I would say to anybody who's going through any sort of tough time with their family, just kind of brush it aside and realize exactly why you are a family, and just cherish the moments you have together, because at some point it's going to be over. And
I'm exactly with you, because you spend time and time away from family, and then when you get together, it's almost like it feels right.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. It feels right. It feels like we should be doing this all the time. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
And my father was a legend. There's so many unbelievably good stories about him. But for some reason, if I close my eyes and think about him now, he's just kind of standing at the end of his driveway waving me off as I drive off my car. That's kind of the one place I always go. I don't know why that is. I couldn't tell you why that's so prevalent in my mind. But I don't know. I just kind of always, if I close my eyes right now, that's kind of where it takes me. I like it. It's cool.
And I kind of have a memory like that. My mom passed away too, and it's kind of like that. I mean, I remember seeing her the last time, and it's kind of like, it's like you said, you have all these fond memories, but that last, at least the last time, she was also saying goodbye to me, but he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
But it was kind of the same thing, right? I mean, it's like you go to that, and it's, as time goes on, it becomes more and more like something close to your heart rather than a pain point, right?
Yeah.
It becomes like a really good thing. But yeah, it's like, it's, you know, listen, it's tough, but it's the I think it's the way of life, right? I tell my kids, yeah. I said, I want to make sure you guys bury me and not the way around, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's like the pain, but it's so fun to have these memories, right? And family's everything. And I think that's what's special what, you know, you do with the girls, you know, what other coaches, Staples do, because when I, you know, I get a chance to talk to them, right, and see them, and they're just, it's just so special we have going on here.
Yeah. And, the whatever whoever drew it up, the blueprint for Staples Athletics, they're getting it right, I think.
Yeah, and it's, I even mentioned that, like, you know, watching the Olympics now, and you can see like the U.S. dominating. And my first thought was, system's working.
Yeah.
Whatever the system is, like, we're part of it. Whatever it is,
Ireland came away with some medals too. Yeah, I was pleased to see
that. Yeah, it was good. They did. They were ahead of Brazil. They did better than that. And I mean, the girl, you know, the soccer game for the final, so exciting, you know, Brazil and U.S. I thought it was.
Yeah, it's probably the two best teams in the world.
It was.
And Brazil, playing.
A lot of early chances early on, but you know, soccer, when you don't capitalize, you get burned.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. Like you just mentioned, again, you guys and scored and they go and score again. It's what happened. I mean, they had a lot of chances in the beginning and it just didn't pan out for them. I mean, the U.S. did. But, you know, it's just fun to watch the sport. I think it's going to be great. I want to wish you guys the best of luck this season.
Appreciate it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We might need a little bit of luck here and there, but we'll take whatever comes our way, you know.
The great cut away. And, you know, we'll get out there, make sure that the girls get their right spot. And thank you so much again for everything you've done for us.
No problem.
For the time that, you know, you talk to us, win, lose, you're always willing to talk. So we appreciate that because I think,
yeah,
you know, the parents and everybody really enjoys listening from you after the game. Kind of comforts everyone.
I appreciate that. I never can aspire to be a voice of comfort, but If people can take comfort from it, even while I'm trying to bury my own discomfort, then fair enough.
Well, because that's the thing, right? You need to realize that a lot of times people, you know, just hearing from someone who's there in it, it's kind of, it just brings something back, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really good to do because it's like, and the emotion, right? I mean, I think, like I mentioned in the beginning, like we could clearly see your emotion after that elimination game, but it's like when you hear it, like, you know, not, and let's face it, I mean, you've got a big program from freshmen to all your seniors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, there's no way you can interact with everyone.
You know, we try to.
We try, But I do think that, you know, when you take the time, and I hear that a lot from people saying how good, you know, you are and when you do that. So we really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks. You're very welcome. As long as I can keep doing the job and keep being a positive role model within Westport, I'm happy enough, you know.
Yeah, well, Coach Barry, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Yeah,
best of luck, and we'll see you on September 3rd.
Thanks.